see everybody out, and we praise God for your presence here this day. We have so much to be thankful for in this life that we live here, and many wonderful things that God so rich has blessed us with, that we can sit down today in here in the cool when it's 100 degrees outside and be comfortable. We'd be thankful for so many wonderful blessings that people didn't have in years gone by. This morning I'd like for us to think about an animal like that we call a hog. Now a hog was an unclean animal. In Leviticus chapter 11 we read about the unclean animals and the clean animals, and I'd encourage you to read that sometime and think about that. As I looked upon that, I noticed one thing that stood out to me, that there was a whole lot more unclean animals than there were clean. And I wondered why God did this. You know, the clean and unclean were not mentioned until the time of the flood. And then they had animals that the Jews were not supposed to eat. They were clean and unclean until Christ came. And then all animals and all flesh is cleansed again, and we can all eat any kind of animal. Well, in the physical sense of the thing, as they looked at it there, it was a likeness to that man that was clean then, unclean then. The children of Israel were the clean people, and the rest of the world were the unclean people. And then when you come across into the spiritual world, into the realm in which we want to live and move and have our being, into the real things about Christ, about God, there's the unclean spiritual beast and the clean spiritual beast. And I noticed in thinking about that, you know, that's the type of the churches and what men do spiritually wise in this life. So you realize that they're a lot more unclean than are clean. And Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for narrow is the way." Let me turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." Then he starts talking about false prophets, which that's one of the things that makes the wide way. But we see that there are a lot more that's not going that are. There's a lot more that's not going to be in the kingdom of heaven than those that are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's what he was trying to show us in a spiritual sense there, between the clean and the unclean. You know, there's one animal that comes to exhibit or to be thought of as the top of the unclean. The unclean of all uncleans. The dirtiest of all dirties. He comes to be thought of by the Jews as the most profane animal, and that was the hog. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin reading verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." You see how this man injured himself, how this man lived in torment. Wouldn't you hate to live like that, to be that kind of person? But that's what Satan can do to you in physical sense, and especially in the spiritual sense. "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he saith unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that they may enter into them." So, you notice something about unclean spirits. about evil spirits that live in people. They want a body to be in. They don't want to be cast out into the deep or to far away. They want some kind of body to be in, even if it happens to be a swine. And so they pleaded with the Lord to cast him into this swine. And then all the devils besought him, saying this unto him. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep, steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. That's a lot of animals that died that day. 2,000 pigs. And when this demons ran into them, they ran violently into the sea, into destruction. That's what the devil and his demons do to us. They destroy us. And it says, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. You would think they'd be happy, wouldn't you? You'd be happy for the man be glorious and rejoicing that a man was made free of such a bondage. And it says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So this thing is taking a little process here. You know, Jesus cast out the swine, and the people that cast out the demons in the swine, the people that's watching this, they see it, and they see what Christ has done, and they're afraid. They go back into town, into the townspeople, probably to the owners of the swine, and here come all these people out to him to see him and to talk to him. And verse 17, and they begin to pray him to depart out of the coast. They asked Jesus to leave. Why? Because he had cast his demons in the swine, and the swine was lost. They valued the swine more than they valued a man's soul. They valued the swine more than they valued this human being being made whole and complete. They wouldn't want to pay such a price for somebody to have the demons cast out of them. So they said to Jesus, leave. Depart from us. Go away from our culture. This particular city where he had went there, to, it was a place of the Gentiles. These were Gentile people. The Jews were not permitted to raise swine or to eat them, have things to do with them. And so this was Gentile city and Gentile people, and they wanted to send the Lord away, the very Lord that they needed to hear. In Matthew 12 and 18, it says, behold, my servant who I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. You know, you and I are Gentiles today, and we need to come to Christ. And we don't need to push him away and say, depart from us. But these men, they reverenced man over God, and they reverenced the flesh of man and the things that could have been bought with these swine. They reverenced their swine more than they did God and man's soul. Matthew 10 and 28, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who we need to reverence. That's who we need to be concerned about. That's who we need to look to. But many people today would rather have their spiritual hog than Jesus Christ. You think about how hog is. How we come to convey him. He's actually not that way. But a hog is considered to be greedy, to gobble up everything he can. A hog would eat beyond his own need to be full. He'll just eat and eat and eat. And he'll fill himself up to work. I've seen him standing in the pen that they only had little old bitty stubs underneath a big old round body. Big and hard to walk. A hog will eat and eat and eat. He gobbles up everything he can. And he's unclean. He wallows in the mud and he's nasty and he's dirty. Especially those who are in captivity. So the hog has become a type to worldliness. To the world. You know, the world, you might say, is in one big hog pen. And the world is filled with hogs. And there are many spiritual hogs which people love more than Christ today. They'd rather have them than the simple hound, Jesus Christ. People who please men more than God. People who want to please men more than God. Want to do what men want rather than what God wants, and what God has said and what God wants and shows us from His Word. And John 12:42 said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on them, but because of the Pharisees, did not confess them, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And if we look at this and consider the Pharisees and what they were more or less spiritual hogs. That's what they were. They loved to have the praise of men. And these people here, they did too. They feared them because of the power that they had and prestige that they had. Today, many, many hogs, they want men with doctorate degrees and long titles before their names and professional men to do their leading rather than to follow Christ. They'd rather follow some man with a degree if they didn't tell them what God wants than for them to read and see what God wants for themselves. And they follow these men and they gobble up souls more and more. And they do whatever the people want rather than what the Lord has said. And they say to the Lord and to His Word, you know, depart from me, I don't want it all. They may take part of it, but they don't want it all. To them, the church is there to do whatever the people want. They vote in whatever they want. They take away what they want. Sometimes they build these things for games and ball games and social activities. They're more concerned with social agenda and political affairs than they are about serving Christ and the words of Jesus Christ. You see, hogs would rather follow men than the Lord. And that's the problem. They require more money, more time and effort from the people that are involved in it than the Lord would require. Much like these Pharisees, they were professionally men. You know, and it was by them and through their teaching, the leaders of the day, what was considered spiritual big shots, big men of the day, they're the ones who crucified the Lord. They're the ones who fought against Christ. And it's the same way today. Because people would rather follow a man and the traditions of men than to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ the Lord. Matthew 7:8, he says, "For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. For he saith unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." That's what the Pharisees were doing. Many would not consider changing a church because it wasn't following God. No, not at all. Maybe at one time it was following God, but it's changed over the years and been corrupted and it's become a hog. And men would not leave it. Why? Because that's where mother and daddy was, where father and mother was at. And they won't leave it, even if it teaches things that they readily admit is wrong, that they know is wrong, where they teach things that go against the gospel, where they teach things that go against the rights of human beings and love for one another, things that preach hatred and racism and partialities, and they would not leave that no matter what, because, well, that's where my grandmother went. That's where my father went. Many will not consider changing. Will they go to church, even when they know that it's practicing wrong? In Colossians 2:8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You see what men have done in the past and what mother and dad have done, what grandpa did. Those things affect us and we are willing to let them lead us away if we're not careful. Jesus said concerning them in Matthew 15:9, he said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." He said their worship's in vain. It's useless. Why? Because they're not teaching the commandments of God, they're teaching the commandments of men. When it comes to obeying the gospel, I've seen many and heard many refuse to obey the gospel. They refuse to be baptized because it might upset mother and dad, because it might cause a problem in the family. And I've heard some say, well, you know, that they would wait until their parents were dead, until the mother was dead, or until dad is gone, and then they will. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they didn't. I've known some that have said such and went to the grave to never obey the gospel, never baptized in Jesus Christ. There was a young man I was studying with one night, and as we were studying with him, and we got into the talking about his salvation, and I asked him some questions about it, and I said, were you saved? When were you saved, and how did it take place? And he told him about it. He went down to the church, and the preacher prayed with him, and I said, did Jesus enter into your heart then? And he said, yes, I was saved then, because Christ came in my soul, and I had him within, and I was saved. And then he said, then later on, you know, they baptized him and several others later on in the month. And then when I showed him what the Bible had to say, and that he needed to obey the Bible and be baptized again for remission of sins, tears well up in his eyes. At first he said, you know, that would hurt my mother. That would hurt my dad. That would really insult them. And then, next thing you know, he said, I was baptized for remission of sins. And so, I let it go with that, because he told me he was baptized in remission of sins. He knew I couldn't say anything else, and he knew that's what the Bible taught. About a year or so later, I was preaching over in that area, and that man came forward with just tears flowing out of his cheeks, just flowing off his face. And you know what he said to me? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that I was able to see the truth. And that day he was baptized in Christ. We need to consider our life and ourselves that we're not gobbled up by some religious hog. They gobble up many souls and keep them out of the gospel of Christ and keep them away from Jesus Christ. So many times people know what's right, but because of family and friends and because of what men have always heard, even though they see the truth, they will not respond to it. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, here it is, that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I've always tried to tell my children, you don't go to church where you go because of me. You go because you know it's so, because you know the truth. I would not want them, if I was going to go to hell and the way I was worshiping was causing others to go to hell, I would not want them to join with me in doing that. We need to hold Jesus Christ at the head and to do whatever He says to do. Not man. No man's devices. 1 Peter 1 and 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation and received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we're redeemed by. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the programs and activities that a church may have on a single soul, all the social things that we put forth to change society but won't save a single soul, they're all saved the same way through Jesus Christ. It is the teachings of Jesus Christ and those of His holy apostles that we need to look to, and not to be concerned about pleasing men, but Jesus Christ. in Matthew 6 and 1, he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If whatever we're doing, we do it to please men, to be glorified by men, to look good in men's eyes, to be accepted by men, whether it be our parents, our grandparents, or our neighbors, or our brothers, or some friend, or whatever they might be. We cannot do it to please men, to be approved except on their side. We must do it because it's what God said. To please God, to be acceptable in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about baptism, there's three little pigs that raise their head right away. Three little pigs jump up. And this is what they do to gobble up people. One little pig, he'll say, you do not have to be baptized. And it's two ways he says that. The atheist says there's no God. Therefore, you don't have to be baptized. There's no God, and so you don't have to worry about such things. But God says that he's a fool who says such. In Psalms 53 and 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. You see, that's what they are. They're like dirty hogs. Some say, another way that this one says, you do not have to be baptized. He said, well, we're all saved by God's grace. Hence, baptism is not necessary, you know. We're just all going to be saved, and God's going to save everybody. But if you read the Bible, you'll see God's not going to save everybody. Because there's a hell prepared for those that disobey it. You know, Peter, who was inspired by God, said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he said to those people, he had preached to them about Jesus Christ, and he had preached to them about the crucifixion of Christ and how they needed a Savior and that they were sinners. And those that were pricked in their heart, they were touched by Peter's words. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he unlocked the door to the kingdom, like Jesus told him in Matthew 16, he would give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, what's loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And here Peter loosed it. He opened the door to the kingdom, and he provided a way in. And how can they say baptism? It's not needed. It's not necessary. You'd be saved without it. Jesus himself said in Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what Jesus said. He said, believeth and is baptized. You've got to have them both. In Galatians 3:27, he said, for as many as have been baptized in Christ, put on Christ. Baptism puts you into Christ, and you put on Christ. You have to have that. You cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. You cannot be saved outside the blood of Christ. You have to be in that body, the body of Christ, which is the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, he said, for by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And so we all follow the same doctrine and teachings and are baptized in the same way, and we're all in one body, the body of the Lord. Beloved, the pigs that gobble them up, to put forth that they are that body as well as others. The second little pig, when you talk about baptism, raises his head and he says, not of water, not in water, don't get wet. But the Word of God says it's in water. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth enter me be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest in all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, if Philip preached to this man about Jesus, he had to preach to him something about baptism, something about in water, because when he saw the water, he knew he could be baptized.
Yes, it's in water.
It's in the water where it takes place. In Acts chapter 10, verse 47, at Cornelius' house, Peter stood up and said, "Can any man forbid water that they should be baptized as well as we?" You know, the word baptism should mean the same thing every time you say it in Scripture. God will not want to confuse us and say the bad thing. These were baptized, and he's talking about one thing, and over here, these over here were baptized, and he's talking about something else. But people try to say that, you know, in Acts 8, you know, they were talking about water there, but in Acts 2, Peter wasn't talking about water. He's talking the same thing in both places. Yes, baptism is in water. It takes water. Sure, the Spirit's involved, for by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body. Yes, the Spirit's involved. But it's in the water where God performs His operation, and we come up out of it a new creature in Christ. It is His baptism that puts us into Christ. And it's not sprinkling. That third little pig, he gobbled up many souls. He rises his head and we say, "Oh, you sprinkle them." Well, you take the little babies when they get a soul old, you go and sprinkle them. Or if you take somebody later on when they decide to obey the gospel, we take them out there and sprinkle them. It's easier, you know. We can have a little bottle of water, or we can pick a little bit up in our hand and drop it over the top of them, and they sprinkle it, and we tell them they're saved. And so this pig gobbles up many souls. Young people are baptized before they even know right from wrong. Before they're able to know and believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as they get older, their parents tell them that they're saved and they're in the church and they're right with God. They tell them all this, and the lies perpetuated on down through centuries of time. In Acts 8, where we read a while ago, you know, he said, "I believe with all thy heart." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then the next verse says, in Acts 8 and 38, "He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called with Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Does that sound like he's sprinkling? They both went down in the water? Well, if he was going to sprinkle them, he just reached down and got the water and put on his head. There wasn't a boat, but they had to go down into the water. They both went down in the water. And in John chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "And John also was baptized in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. They came and were baptized." It's sprinkling baptism. It didn't have to be much water. It takes water, a lot of water, to bury somebody. And that's why they had to have much water. That's why both of them had to go down in the water and both of them come up out of the water. You see, it's a burial. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 6. We'll start reading verse 1 through verse 5. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" You see, Christ was buried in His death. When He died, they buried Him. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So sprinkling will not do that. You can't bury somebody and you sprinkle them. When they buried somebody that you knew that died, maybe your grandpa or great-grandpa, whatever, when they buried them, they didn't leave their hands sticking up out of the ground, did they? They completely covered them. When you take your pet animal out there, your dog, whatever, you're going to bury them, you're going to completely cover them with the dirt. You don't want to let part of it sticking out. That's not a burial. And sprinkling is not a burial either. And we continue reading here. He says that they have come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. You see that they're up here and they're planted and buried into it and they come back out of it. Verse 5, he says, "For we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, which will also be in the likeness of His resurrection." So you see, baptism is a burial and it's necessary for our salvation. What we need to do, if we've never done it, is to leave the pig pen of this world and come out of it to be cleansed by Jesus Christ. To be baptized into Him, being cleansed by His blood, to rise and walk in newness of life. But you know, as we're walking in new life, we can't go astray. We can't turn away. Nobody else can pluck you out. That's what Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hand, but you can leave it. You can walk away from it. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Many in this day were preaching untruth, promising people liberties outside of Christ, teaching things they should not. And then in verse 20, he speaks about them. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You see, the Lord uses the hog as a picture of spiritual uncleanness. For those that would turn away and go into the world to be overcome with sin, or to continue in sin, to leave the teachings of Jesus Christ, to be involved in things that are not on His teaching in His way, and that sin in our lives is sin for us all. So we give you an invitation today to come to Jesus Christ today and be cleansed. If you were once washed, what shall you do? He tells us what to do. 1 John 1:9, he says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, feed in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. This is how we stay right with God. If you've never been buried in baptism, we give you the opportunity to do that today. As we stand and sing, won't you come and be cleansed? If you need cleansing from the power of God, from Jesus Christ, He says to all, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in you.